And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West. The most haunted city in the country. Well, this is July 1st. Year's half over. This has been a year for the books, let me tell you. It's the 182nd day of the year, 183rd leap year in the Gregorian calendar. It's the last day of the first half of the year. And the end of today marks the halfway point of a leap year. It also falls on the same day of the week as New Year's Day in a leap year. In the midpoint of the year for the Southern Hemisphere occurs at 11 p.m. Now, in AD 69, Tiberius Julius Alexander orders his Roman legions in Alexandria to swear allegiance to Vespasian as emperor. 552, Battle of Tagine. Byzantine forces under Narses defeat the Ostrogoths in Italy, and the Ostrogoth king Totilia is mortally wounded. 1097, Battle of Torrelameon. Crusaders led by Prince Bohemond of Taranto defeat a Seljuk army led by the Sultan Khaleji Arslan. 1431, the Battle of La Higuerilla takes place in Granada, leading to a modest advance of the Kingdom of Castile during the Reconquista. 1520, Spanish conquistadors led by Hernan Cortes fight their way out of Tenochtitlan after nightfall. See, the Spanish went in, and the Aztecs pretty much let them do as they pleased. They captured Montezuma II, and he offered a ransom. He would fill the room with gold as high as he could reach. And they did. In fact, there was so much in the way of treasure on the way that had Cortez not been impatient, it was an unbelievable fortune. But he decided that if he released Montezuma, it'd be a rallying point for his people, so he sent somebody to kill him. And then they had to fight their way out of Tenochtitlan. 1523, Jan van Essen and Hendrik Voss become the first Lutheran martyrs, burned at the stake by Roman Catholic authorities in Brussels. 1569, the Union of Lublin. The Kingdom of Poland and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania confirm a real union. And a united country is called the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, or the Republic of Both Nations. 1643, first meeting of the Westminster Assembly. A council of theologians and members of the Parliament of England appointed to restructure the Church of England at Westminster Abbey in London. 1690, Glorious Revolution, Battle of the Boyne in Ireland. 1766, Francois Jean de La Barre, a young French nobleman, is tortured and beheaded before his body is burned on a pyre, along with a copy of Voltaire's Dictionnaire Philosophique, nailed to his torso for the crime of not saluting. Get this, not saluting a Roman Catholic religious procession in Abbeville, France. He didn't do anything wrong. It was an act of omission. But such is the view of a religious fanatic that everything has to be slapped down violently. 1770, Lexell's comet seen close to the Earth, near the comet in recorded history. Approached to a distance of 0.0146 astronomical units. That's about 1.3 million miles. 1782, the raid on Lunenburg. American privateers attacked the British settlement of Lunenburg, Nova Scotia. Privateers were basically, they weren't pirates per se. They were actually chartered by, or given permission by the various states to wage war against the enemy. 1819, Johann George Traudless discovers the great comet of 1819. The first comet analyzed using polarimetry. 1837, system of civil registration of births, marriages, and deaths is established in England and Wales. 1855, the signing of the Quinault Treaty. The Quinault and the Coilite cede their land to the United States. 1858, the joint reading of Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace's paper on evolution to the Linnean Society in London. 1862, the Russian State Library is founded as the Library of the Moscow Public Museum. 1862, Princess Alice of the United Kingdom, second daughter of Queen Victoria, marries Prince Louis von Hesse, the future Louis IV, Grand Duke of Hesse. 1862, the Battle of Malvern Hill and the Civil War takes place. It's the last of the 7 days' battles, part of George B. McClellan's Peninsula Campaign, which turned out to be a disaster for the Union. 1863, Keti Koti, Emancipation Day in Suriname, marking the abolition of slavery by the Netherlands. 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg begins. That was the high water mark of the Confederacy. 1867, the British North America Act takes effect as the province of Canada, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia join into Confederation to create the modern country of Canada. Sir John Macdonald is sworn in as the first Prime Minister. The date's commemorated annually in Canada as Canada Day. It's a national holiday. 1870, the United States Department of Justice formally comes into existence. Though there are times when I think the name was a joke. 1873, Prince Edward Island joins in the Canadian Confederation. 1874, the Scholes and Glidden typewriter, the first commercially successful typewriter, goes on sale. And the world has never been the same. 1878, Canada joins the Universal Postal Union. 1879, Charles Taze Russell publishes the first edition of the religious magazine, The Watchtower. 1881, the world's first international telephone call is made between St. Stephen, New Brunswick, Canada, and Calais, Maine, United States. Line was busy. 1881, General Order 70, the culmination of the Caldwell and Childers reforms of the British Army comes into effect. 1885, the United States terminates reciprocity and fishery agreements with Canada. 1885, the Congo Free States established between King Leopold II of Belgium. 1890, Canada and Bermuda are linked by telegraph cable. 1898, the Spanish-American War. The Battle of San Juan Hill is fought in Santiago de Cuba, which, of course, is on the island of Cuba. 1903, started the first Tour de France bicycle race. 1908, SOS is adopted as the international distress signal. 1911, Germany dispatches the gunship SMS Panther to Morocco, sparking the Agadir crisis. 1915, Lieutenant Kurt Wittgens of the then-named German Deutsches Heeres Fliegertruppe Army Air Service archives the first known aerial victory with a synchronized machine gun armed fighter plane. It was the Fokker M.5K, the Eindecker. Is World War I. 1916, first day of the Battle of the Somme. 19,000 soldiers from the British Army are killed and 40,000 are wounded. That's in one day. 1922, the Great Railroad Strike of 1922 begins in the U.S. 1923, the Parliament of Canada suspends all Chinese immigration. 1931, United Airlines begins service as the Boeing Air Transport Company. 1931, Wiley Post and Harold Gaddy become the first people to circumnavigate the globe in a single-engine monoplane aircraft. 1932, Australia's national broadcaster, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, was formed. 1935, Regina, Saskatchewan Police and Royal Canadian Mounted Police ambush strikers participating in the On to Ottawa Trek. 1942, World War II, the first Battle of Alamein. That was in involving Rommel's Africa Corps. Now, he was probably the most brilliant general the Germans had. In 1942, the Australian federal government becomes the sole collector of income tax in Australia. State income tax is abolished. 1943, the city of Tokyo and the prefecture of Tokyo are both replaced by the Tokyo metropolis. 1947, the Philippine Air Force is established. 1948, Muhammad Al-Hinnan inaugurates Pakistan's Central Bank, the State Bank of Pakistan. 1949, the merger of two princely states of India, Cochin and Travancore, into the state of Tirukochi, later reorganized as Kerala, and the Indian Union ends more than 1,000 years of princely rule by the Cochin family. 1957, International Geophysics Year begins. 1958, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation links TV broadcasting across Canada by microwave. 1958, the flooding of Canada's St. Lawrence Seaway begins. 1959, specific values for international yard, avoirdupois du pound, and derived units are adopted after agreement between the U.S., the U.K., and other Commonwealth countries. 1960, independence of Somalia. 1960, Ghana becomes a republic, and Kwame Nkrumah becomes its first president as Queen Elizabeth II. Ceases to be its head of state. 1962, independence of Rwanda and Burundi. 1963, zip codes are introduced for United States mail. Also, 1963, the British government finally admitted that former diplomat Kim Philby was a Soviet agent. 1966, the first color television transmission in Canada takes place, originating in Toronto. 1967, the merger treaty. European Community is formally created out of a merger with the Common Market, the European Coal and Steel Community, and the European Atomic Energy Commission. 1968, the United States Central Intelligence Agency Phoenix Program is officially established. Been a lot of rumors about the Phoenix Program. 1968, the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons is signed in Washington, D.C., London, and Moscow by 62 countries. The next day, they all proceeded to ignore it. 1968, the formal separation of the United Auto Workers from the AFL-CIO in the U.S. 1972, the first Gay Pride March in England takes place. 1976, Portugal grants autonomy to Madeira. 1978, the Northern Territory in Australia is granted self-government. 1979, Sony introduced a Walkman. 1980, the song Old Canada officially becomes the national anthem of Canada. 1983, a North Korean Ilyushin 1162M jet en route to Conakry Airport in Guinea crashes into Futa Jajona Mountains in Guinea-Bissau, killing all 23 on board. 1984, the PG-13 rating is introduced by the Motion Picture Association. 1987, American radio station WFAN in New York is launched as the world's first all-sports radio station. 1990, German reunification. East Germany accepts the Deutschmark as its currency, uniting the economies of East and West Germany. 1991, the Warsaw Pact is officially dissolved at a meeting in Prague. 1997, China resumes sovereignty over the city-state of Hong Kong, ends 156 years of British colonial rule. The handover ceremony is attended by British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Charles, Prince of Wales, Chinese President Xi Jinping, and U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. 1999, the Scottish Parliament is officially opened by Elizabeth II on the day that legislative powers officially transferred from the old Scottish office in London to the newly devolved Scottish Executive in Edinburgh.
In Wales, the powers of the Welsh Secretary transfer to the National Assembly. 2002, the International Criminal Court established to prosecute individuals for genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and the crimes of aggression. 2002, Baskirian Airlines Flight 2937, a Tupolev Tu-154 and DHL Flight 611, Boeing 757, collide in midair over Uberlingen in southern Germany. All 71 on both planes are killed. 2003, over a 500,000 people protest against efforts to pass anti-sedition legislation in Hong Kong. 2004, Saturn orbit insertion of Cassini-Huygens begins at 0112 UTC and ends at 248 UTC. 2006, the first operation of Qinghai Tibet Railways conducted in China. 2007, smoking in England is banned in all public indoor spaces. 2008, riots erupt in Mongolia in response to allegations of fraud surrounding the 2008 legislative elections. And in 2013, Croatia becomes the 28th member of the European Union. A lot of births and deaths on this particular date in history. Holidays, Christian Feast Day, Aaron in the Syriac Christianity, Blessed Antonio Rosmini Sabati, Felix of Como, Junipero Serra, Julius and Aaron, Leontius of Autun, Servanus, Veep, Feast of the Most Precious Blood, which was removed from the official Roman Catholic calendar since 1969. Earliest day on which Alexanderson Day can fall, celebrated on the Sunday closest to July 2nd in Sweden. Earliest day on which Karakom Day can fall, July 7th the latest, celebrated on the first Monday in July in Ghana. Constitution Day, this is the earliest day, July 7th the latest, celebrated on the first Monday in July in the Caymans. Earliest day on which Dia de Amigo can fall, celebrated on the first Saturday of July in Peru. Earliest day on which Fisherman's Holiday can fall, celebrated on the first Friday of July in the Marshall Islands. Earliest day on which Heroes Day can fall, July 7th, the latest, celebrated on the first Monday in July in Zambia. Earliest day on which International Cooperative Day can fall, celebrated on the first Saturday of July. Earliest day on which International Free Hugs Day can fall, celebrated on the first Saturday of July. Earliest day on which Navy Day can fall, celebrated on the first Sunday in July in Ukraine. Earliest day on which Navy Day can fall, celebrated on the first Saturday and Sunday in Netherlands. Earliest day on which Youth Day can fall, July 7th, the latest, celebrated on the first Sunday in July in Singapore. Also in Singapore, Armed Forces Day. It's Canada Day, formerly Dominion Day in Canada. Children's Day in Pakistan. Communist Party of China Founding Day in China. Day of Officials and Civil Service in Hungary. Doctor's Day in India. Emancipation Day in the Netherlands, Antilles. Engineers Day in Bahrain, Mexico. Hong Kong Special Administrative Region Establishment Day in Hong Kong and China. Independence Day in Burundi. Independence Day in Rwanda. Independence Day in Somalia. International Tartan Day. July morning in Bulgaria. Keti-Koti, which is Emancipation Day in Suriname. Madeira Day in Madeira and in Portugal. Moving Day in Quebec. Newfoundland and Labrador Memorial Day. Republic Day in Ghana. Sir Seretse Khama Day in Botswana. Territory Day in the British Virgin Islands. And it's the first day of Van Mahotsav, celebrated until July 7th in India. Well, we have, of course, a lot of activities on July 1st. 1689, Matsuo Basho, the Zen poet, leaves for a 150-day journey from Hansu in Japan. $19.41, Bulova Watch Company pays $9. Can you imagine it? $9 for the first ever network TV commercial. 1967, the Beatles album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band goes number one in the U.S., stays there for 15 weeks. Yeah, let's see. The Batavian nobleman, Gaius Julius Severus, proclaimed emperor in Syria. In the year 70, the Roman general Titus and his forces set up battering ramps to assault the walls of Jerusalem. In 1200 in China, the sunglasses are invented. Let's see what else we got. 1698, the Congregation of Notre Dame of Montreal, founded by Marguerite Bourgeois, canonically constituted a community. 1745, the warship Elizabeth joins Bonnie Prince Charlie's frigate Dutelli. He was a pretender to the British throne. 1776, the first vote on Declaration of Independence for Britain's North American colonies took place. 1798, Napoleon's fleet reaches Alexandria, Egypt. 1810, Louis Napoleon abdicates as King of the Netherlands. 1816, the French frigate Medusa is wrecked. 1836, Andrew Jackson announces to Congress a bequest by James Smithson of 100,000 gold sovereigns to found the Smithsonian Institution. 1839, Abdulmejid succeeds Mahmud II as Sultan of Turkey. 1847, the first U.S. postage stamps go on sale. 5 cents for Franklin and 10 cents for Washington, which in those days was a lot of money. 1861, the U.S. War Department decrees that Kansas and Tennessee are to be canvassed for volunteers. 1862, the Battle of Boonville, Mississippi. Okay, there's always somebody who calls when I'm in the middle of doing my show. 1862, the U.S. Internal Revenue Law imposes the first federal taxes on inheritance, tobacco, and on incomes over $600. 1862, Alexander II of Russia grants Jews the right to publish books. Well, the we're going to now turn our attention to I've been talking about ghosts for quite some time. And with the 4th of July coming up, which is the date when normally the UFO festival is celebrated in Roswell. I used to speak there for 10 years.
until I became politically unacceptable to another author who had the ear of the board. Now, he gets a stipend every year, and it's frankly a violation of federal law for a member of the board, and he did get himself elected to the board, to receive a stipend. But the rules are changed because he's such a fantastic guy. He and his partner wrote a book that was made into a movie, and that's the last thing he's done of any note. Some of his books sit in the bookstore until the pages turn yellow, but he's still a brilliant writer. And he arranged for my books to be removed from the bookstore because I outsold him, and he just could not stand that. Well, you know, a few basics. Had somebody actually send me an email going, what is a UFO? Well, it's actually any aerial phenomena that can't be immediately identified or classified. Now, most UFOs are in fact identified on investigation as conventional objects or phenomena of some sort. The term is widely used for what's believed to be extraterrestrial craft. The term was coined in 1953 by the Air Force to serve as a catch-all for all types of reports. It used to be called UFOB. As defined by the Air Force, a UFOB was any airborne object which by performance, aerodynamic characteristics, or unusual features doesn't conform to any presently known aircraft or missile type, or they can't be positively identified as a familiar object. Accordingly, the term was initially restricted to that fraction of cases that remain unidentified after investigation. You know, frankly, the Air Force's interest in potential national security reasons and technical aspects. If you need more information on that particular definition, go to Air Force Regulation 200-2. Now, during the late 40s and throughout most of the 50s, UFOs are often referred to as flying saucers or flying disc. The term UFO became more widespread during the 50s, and first in technical literature, but later in popular books. During the Cold War, UFOs garnered considerable interest. Of course, we had a heightened concern in that time period with national security. And nevertheless, there have been a number of studies that have concluded the phenomena does not represent a threat to national security, and it doesn't contain anything worthy of scientific pursuit. Now, that information came from the 1951 Flying Saucer Working Party, the 1953 CIA Robertson Panel, Blue Book, and the Condom Committee. But you have to keep in mind that their goal was to allay concerns by the public. Now, the use of UFO was actually coined by Captain Edward Rupert, who headed Blue Book. And then the Air Force official investigation of UFOs. He said, obviously the term flying saucer is misleading when applied to objects of every conceivable shape and performance. And, studies have established the majority of UFO observations are misidentified conventional objects. However, about 10% of reported sightings remain unexplained after initial investigation. Now, mainstream science, kind of like mainstream media, doesn't hold much stock in anything they can't control. There have been a number of unexplained aerial observations reported throughout history, and some are undoubtedly astronomical in nature. These might include comets or bright meteors or one or more of the five planets can be readily seen with the naked eye.
As an example, Halley's Comet, which was recorded first by Chinese astronomers in 240 BC and possibly as early as 467 BC. But these type of sightings are reported throughout history as supernatural portents, angels, or other religious omens. In some current day, UFO researchers have noticed similarities between some religious symbols in medieval paintings and UFO reports. You know, it has been interesting to note that a lot of very, very old UFO paintings, religious paintings and tapestries in the background actually shows what appears to be UFOs. It was a man named Julius Obsequens, a Roman writer, believed to have lived in the middle of the 4th century A.D., and he wrote something basically known as the Liber de Prodigalis, the Book of Prodigies. Now, this was extracted from a larger book written by Levy. And this book discussed wonders and portents that occurred in Rome between 249 and 12 BCE. BC is before Christ. BCE is the basically around the coming up on the year zero. An aspect of his work that has inspired a lot of interest in some circles are references made to things moving through the sky, and these have been interpreted as reports of UFOs, but frankly could just as easily be meteors, since in those days, without the aid of telescopes, quite often they were just simply guessing about what they saw. Now, April 14, 1561, residents of Nuremberg described the appearance of a large black triangular object. According to witnesses, there were hundreds of spears and cylinders and other odd-shaped objects that flew overhead. They were never explained satisfactorily. Jacques Vallée wrote about it. It's called Wonders in the Sky. 1566, celestial phenomena. Basel was a series of mass sightings of celestial phenomena. This is Basel, Switzerland. Celestial phenomena were said to have fought together in the form of numerous red and black balls in the sky. January 25th, 1878, the Denison Daily News printed an article in which John Martin, a local farmer, reported seeing a large, dark, circular object resembling a balloon flying at a wonderful speed. And according to the report, he said it appeared to be about the size of a saucer, which I guess would be one of the first uses of the word saucer in reference to a UFO. In April of 1897, thousands of people reported encountering airships in various parts of the U.S. A lot of folks even signed affidavits. Scores of people reported even talking to the pilots. Thomas Edison was asked for his opinion and said, "You can take it from me that it's a pure fake." But he had the fallacy of thinking he was the smartest man in the room. And if he didn't believe it, it couldn't be true. We have a lot of professors that have that same failing today. If they didn't think of it, or they didn't see it, it didn't happen. Okay, February 28, 1904. Three crew members of the USS Supply, 300 miles west of San Francisco, reported by Lieutenant Frank Schofield, who became Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Battle Fleet, talked about the sighting by these three crew members. He said there were three bright red meteors, one egg-shaped, the other two round, that approached beneath the cloud layer, then soared above the cloud.
Now, for something to fly beneath the clouds and then go above the clouds, to me, that's artificial control. The three earliest known pilot UFO sightings took place in 1916 and 1926. On January 31st, 1916, a UK pilot near Rochford reported a low of lights resembling lighted windows on a railway carriage that rose up and disappeared. January 26, 1926, a pilot reported six flying manhole covers from Wichita, Kansas and Colorado Springs, Colorado. In September 1926, an airmail pilot over Nevada said he'd been forced to land by a huge, wingless, cylindrical object. April 5th, 1926, while traveling in the Humboldt Mountains of Tibet's Kokonor region, Russian explorer Nicholas Rorik reported that members of his expedition saw something big and shiny reflecting the sun like a huge oval moving at a great speed. Crossing our camp, he said, the thing changed in its direction from south to southwest, and we saw how it disappeared in the intense blue sky. We even had time to take out our field glasses and saw quite distinctly an oval form with shiny surfaces. Another description by Rorik was of a shiny body flying from north to south. Now, there are those who would have you believe each and every one of these people was making it up. What is there evidence for this? Well, we all know it can't be true. We also knew that the stories of the gorilla, the great ape, were fantasy. Until one was found. In the Pacific European theaters during World War II, Foo Fighters, metallic spears and balls of light and other shapes that followed aircraft were reported and on occasion photographed by both Allied and Axis pilots. Some proposed Allied explanations at the time included St. Elmo's fire, the planet Venus, which, yes, flew in formation with some of our bombers, hallucinations from oxygen deprivation, German secret weapons. 1946, more than 2,000 reports were collected, primarily by the Swedish military, of unidentified aerial objects over the Scandinavian nations, along with isolated reports from France, Portugal, Italy, and Greece. These objects were referred to as Russian hail and later as ghost rockets. Most were thought to be, but never proven, natural phenomena. More than 200 are tracked on radar by the Swedish military and deemed to be real physical objects. In a 1948 top-secret document, Swedish authorities advised the U.S. Air Force in Europe that some of their investigators believed these craft to be extraterrestrial in origin. Now, UFOs have been subject to investigation over the years. It varied widely in scope and scientific rigor. Governments or independent academics in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., Japan, Peru, France, Belgium, Sweden, Brazil, Chile, Uruguay, Mexico, Spain, and the Soviet Union have known and investigated at various times. Among the best-known government studies are the ghost rockets investigated by the Swedes. Project Blue Book, previously known as Project Sign and Project Grudge, conducted by the Air Force from 1947 to 1969. The secret U.S. Army Air Force Project Twinkle, 1948 to 51. The Brazilian Air Force's 1977 Operation Saucer. France has had an ongoing investigation for a long time. It's going on since 1977. Now, the Project Sign had a final report published early in 1949 stating that while some UFOs appear to be actual aircraft, there was not enough data to determine their origin. And these aircraft
could outperform the best that we had. One reason that Roswell upset the military so badly, we were the most powerful country in the world in 1947, and we couldn't control what was flying in our skies. Well, there have been no official government investigations ever publicly concluded UFOs are real physical objects, extraterrestrial in nature, or of concern to national defense. Now, there's been a lot of classified findings that said that. Now, a gentleman I got to know a number of years ago named Timothy Good. He's a well-known UFO researcher. He got a letter from the Army's Director of Counterintelligence confirming the existence of the Interplanetary Phenomenon Unit. He said this unit was established by the Army sometime in the 40s, and it wasn't disestablished until sometime in the late 50s. Now, when has the government ever created something and then stopped it? I don't think I've ever heard of one. Project Blue Book, conducted by the Air Force until 1969. Then there's the Secret Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, funded up through 2012. And there's been quite a number of items released recently that show that there's been quite a lot of activity that our military's actually filmed. Now, there's been a number of cases that the government has been at pains to try to discount. Roswell in 1947 involved in New Mexico civilians, local law enforcement, and the military. In fact, evidence was collected at the scene by Major Jesse Marcel. CIC came in and started threatening people. The uncle of a friend of my wife's, as a small child, rode with Mac Brazil, the man who found the wreckage. And when the CIC got done with him, he was so scared, he went back to Mexico. Then there's the Mantell incident, January of 1948. His plane was chasing a UFO and crashed. Betty and Barney Hill abduction, 1961. First reported abduction incident, but there were some that were not reported. The Kecksburg UFO incident in Pennsylvania in 1965. A bell-shaped object crashed in the area. Police and military went to investigate. Travis Walton, who is along with Jim Burleson and myself, are the host of a TV series called Beyond Roswell, was involved in an abduction case in 1975. In fact, they made a movie out of it called Fire in the Sky. The Phoenix Lights, which took place in March of 1997. 2006, the O'Hare International Airport UFO sighting. And there is the 2004 USS Nimitz incident. And the 2014 USS Theodore Roosevelt incidents. There's been quite a number of UFO videos the government's made. Now, what's referred to as the Pentagon videos are selected visual recordings of cockpit instrumentation displays from U.S. Navy fighter jets based aboard aircraft carriers Nimitz and Theodore Roosevelt. Three videos, widely characterized as officially documenting UFOs, were the subject of extensive coverage in mainstream media in 2017 and declassified by the Pentagon this year. Now, publicity surrounding these videos has prompted a number of explanations. There's always somebody, even if they have to do mental gymnastics to do it,
are going to explain these videos away. Now, as of 2020, the aerial phenomena recorded from the Nimitz and the Roosevelt has been characterized by the Department of Defense as unidentified. And, of course, widespread media attention to these events has motivated theories and speculations from private individuals and groups. Now, a lot of it's referred to as pseudoscientific. You know, the sad thing is there are those who would never admit, I don't care if the little green man walked up and knocked on their front door, would never admit there are extraterrestrials involved. They're just mentally incapable of accepting that. At the same time, there are those that look at the evidence and say, you know, one and one equals two. Now, in spite of rumors to the contrary, the Pentagon has long been looking for exactly what's going on. Now, the Navy has said in late April, Navy fighter pilots encountered something unidentifiable. In 2019, the National UFO Reporting Center says it received nearly 6,000 sightings in North American skies. Now, the sad commentary to all this is that our system, our government, our society, which is already reeling from COVID-19 and all the riots and protests, if it was suddenly announced aliens were here, there would be mass confusion. Now, there have been hundreds of pictures and videos of UFOs taken every year, and a lot of people believe that they're proof that there are extraterrestrials among us. The problem is we don't have definitive evidence that can be reproduced in the laboratory, which means science is not going to, you know, no scientist who values his job is going to talk about UFOs. That's just how it is. Doesn't make a bit of difference what the evidence shows. They're just not going to do it. Now, the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee says the Pentagon ought to release a public report. Even the New York Times has reported on the Pentagon's efforts to track and study UFOs. And for the first time, DOD has confirmed the authenticity of videos taken by military planes that show these flying objects. So now the Senate, in its brilliance, wants to regulate the Pentagon's tracking effort. According to the Committee's Intelligence Authorization Act for 2021. Now, Congress hasn't passed it yet, but they want a standardized collection reporting on UFOs and any links they have to adversarial foreign governments, the threat they pose to U.S. military and installations. Now, what, 40 years ago? It was in the 70s. So, 20, 40, probably 45 years ago, unit I was with got in a gunfight with a UFO. Of course, nothing was done about it. Everybody just pretended it didn't happen.
But certainly, there are a lot of issues that nobody wants to discuss. For example, you know, scientists know there are millions and maybe billions of planets in the universe that could sustain life. So in the long history of everything, why hadn't any of this life made it far enough into space to shake hands or claws or tentacles or whatever they've got with humans? Could be they're ignoring us. It could be that they don't like to get shot at. You know, if we hope to converse with E.T., we're going to have a few icebreakers handy, so to speak. There are theories that alien life is trapped in secret oceans buried deep inside frozen planets. You know, subsurface oceans of liquid water are found beneath multiple moons in our solar system. And it appears to be much more common than we thought throughout the Milky Way. NASA physicist Alan Stern thinks clandestine water worlds could provide a perfect stage for evolving life, even if the surface of the planet is inhospitable. Now, could be that they're captive, so to speak, of what's known as a super Earth. Now, this term refers to a type of planet with a mass up to 10 times greater than Earth's. Star surveys have turned up hundreds of these worlds that could have the right conditions for liquid water. And this means alien life could conceivably be evolving on these super Earths all over the universe. Unfortunately, we'll probably never meet these particular aliens. According to a study published in April, a planet with 10 times the Earth's mass would have an escape velocity 2.4 times greater than Earth's. And overcoming that gravitational pull would make rocket launches and space travel almost impossible. According to Michael Hipke, who did a study, he's affiliated with the Sonnenberg Observatory in Germany. On more massive planets, he said, space flight would be exponentially more expensive. Instead, they'd probably spend all their time on their home planet. Now, we invented the radio about 1900. First computer in 1945, and are now in the business of mass-producing handheld devices capable of making billions of calculations per second. In fact, full-blown artificial intelligence may be right around the corner. And according to Seth Sostak, a futurist, that's reason enough to reframe our search for intelligent life. From his point of view, we ought to be looking for intelligent machines, not little green men. He said, any alien society that invents radio so we can hear them, within a few centuries, they've invented their successors. And these successors are machines. A truly advanced alien society, he said, might be completely populated by super intelligent robots. And that should inform our search for aliens. Instead of focusing our researches on finding other inhabitable planets, maybe we ought to be looking to places to be more attracted to machines. But, like so many ivory tower scientists, you have to kind of wonder how his mind works. Of course, thanks to pop culture, the word alien probably makes you think of a spooky humanoid with a big bald head. And for Hollywood, that's fine. But there are those that believe this could sabotage our search for alien life. In one study, the researchers asked 137 people to look at pictures of other planets and scan the images for signs of alien structures. In several of these images was a tiny man in a gorilla suit.
Only 30% of those that looked at it noticed the gorilla. In reality, aliens probably wouldn't look anything at all like apes. They may not even be detectable by light and sound waves. So how do we find them? Well, that's something we'll have to figure out. Of course, the closer we get to finding aliens, the closer we get to destroying them. That's according to theoretical physicist Alexander Berezin. Any civilization capable of exploring beyond its own solar system has to be on a path of unrestricted growth and expansion. And that leaves such a expansion, it has a cost. And that's at the expense of smaller in the way organisms. The me-first mentality probably wouldn't end when the alien life is encountered, assuming we even noticed it. What if the first life that reaches interstellar travel capability necessarily eradicates all competition to fuel its own expansion? And then, of course, when a population burns through resources faster than its planet can provide them, you have a catastrophe. Climate change, which so many people scream and rant and rave about and don't even realize what it is they're talking about, could well have put an end to other races. Isn't it possible that an advanced, energy-guzzling alien society might run into the same issues we have? Now, of course, depending on who you talk to, that's assuming there really is such a thing as climate change. Climate change is naturally on its own. According to astrophysicist Adam Frank, it's not only possible, but extremely likely. He ran a series of mathematical models to simulate how a hypothetical alien culture might rise and fall as it increasingly converted its planet resources into energy. And fortunately, in 3 out of the 4 scenarios, society crumbled and most of the population died. Only when the society caught the problem early and switched to sustainable energy did that civilization manage to survive. Or maybe the aliens couldn't advance fast enough, and they died. Well, maybe we're the aliens. And there's no evidence that actually we originated on this planet. In fact, there's 1 or 2 or 3 races that we found the remains of. And people point to Darwin and his theory, but it's a theory. It's a guess. It's an idea. Maybe we didn't originate here. Maybe we are the aliens. Well, whatever may be the situation, we'll be talking more about UFOs tomorrow. And I don't think there's going to be a Roswell celebration this year. Nothing else has gone on. And maybe those that think they are the end-all, be-all, and the only ones that have a right to appear in front of the public, and it's all about dollars, you know. If he gets rid of his competition, then he can sell more books because people are going to buy books when they go. It's souvenirs of the trip. Well, until tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Mountain, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show saying have a truly great evening.